In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints whose faith looks trustingly to Christ of Calvary, your Savior true, have you ever had the feeling that someone wanted you to mess up? Have you ever had the feeling that someone wanted you to be wrong? Dear saints, Jesus in our text is surrounded by people who want him to be wrong, who want him to sin. The text says that after Jesus had been invited to dinner by one of the rulers of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. On Tuesday, one of our six-year-olds from tutoring, I was opening the door for them, and I opened the door, and she looked at me, and she said, "I've got my eyes on you." She knew this text was coming up. They were watching him carefully. Everything he taught, everything he did, listening carefully for him to be wrong. Trying to perceive his thoughts, getting ready to jump on any opportunity if his deeds were wrong, they were watching him carefully. And above all of that, added to that, they had set a trap for Jesus. He was being set up. They who wanted Jesus to be wrong put a man who had dropsy in front of Jesus on a Sabbath day, knowing that Jesus was merciful, and they watched him carefully to see if he would sin against their culturally man-made up rules that they had added to God's word about work and the Sabbath. They wanted Jesus wrong. But he responds brilliantly. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, he asks, saying out loud for all to hear exactly what the trap was and making the trap in question. This is so wonderful. He makes the trap in question, not about the lawyers and the Pharisees and their hatred about him, but he makes it about God. Is it lawful? This isn't about me. This isn't about you. Is it lawful? What does God say? And the text says, and they remained silent. And that will always be the case when you want Jesus wrong. It will end in shameful silence. Dear saints, throughout your days and your weeks, it doesn't take much reflecting to see how much the devil wants you to mess up. And I am sure you have missed many. And it doesn't take much self-reflecting to see that you were not as brilliant or as faithful as Jesus. You and I did not often make it about God and how he is right and wise. We too often did not ask, is it lawful? We too often made it about us and our desires and our perceived wisdom. The devil set traps, and you were not awake enough in prayer to see them, and you fell right in. The devil wanted you to sin, and you did. But the devil isn't the only one who is watching others carefully in hopes that they will mess up. We do that too. We sometimes want others to be wrong. We don't like them. We don't like them either at that moment, or we never will like them. Thank you very much. How many times, dear saints, do you want someone to say the wrong thing or lose their temper in an argument? It's going to make you look better. How many times do you want someone to mess up so that you look better in front of the boss or in front of the friend, or that you spin the story so that they look all the worse and you look all the better? Dear saints, if we are looking for others to be wrong, if we are looking for others to sin, if we are waiting for somebody to mess up, then we will live a life of pulling the trap and saying, aha! Gotcha! You're wrong again! And they will be all the worse for it. And so will you. And so will everybody else around us. Instead, as Miss Flora read the words of the Apostle Paul, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And you should urge the same for me as well. You see, instead of watching others carefully, Scripture gives us a different admonition. It gives it first to pastors, but then it also gives it to all Christians. Dear saints, instead of watching others carefully, keep a close watch on yourself and the teaching. St. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 4:16. Jesus records something very much the same. St. Luke says it of Jesus, where Jesus says, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and for that day to come upon you suddenly like a trap." Watch yourselves and watch the word. Watch the teaching, lest that day to come upon you suddenly like a trap. Anytime Jesus is dining with others, he is also teaching others. Dining and teaching always went hand in hand for Jesus. It did then, and it does now. Jesus teaches, and Jesus eats and drinks, and you eat and drink with your host, who also gives himself as the body and the blood. Teaching and dining go hand in hand. The Pharisees and the lawyers missed the gift of both. They were too busy wanting Jesus to be wrong. Let us be busy on wanting Jesus to be right. Jesus is right when he admonishes us for our sin, when he is calling us out for the traps that we have set in anger or in annoyance for others, when he is calling us to repentance for falling into the traps of the devil that he has set up for us, and we sometimes too willingly jump right in. Jesus is right, and he always will be. And Jesus is also right in his teaching and his dining when he refreshes you, when he forgives you, when he gives to you his peace and his wisdom and the wonderful, wonderful truth that your Jesus is also watching you carefully. But he's not watching you, waiting for you to sin. And he's not watching out for you, waiting for you to be wrong. But he is watching out for you to love you, and to protect you, and to deliver you, and to rescue you. And he doesn't watch silently. He gives you his word out loud. Keep a close watch on yourselves and the teaching. He speaks it out loud. You have his word. You know the traps that have been set before you. When the lawyers and the Pharisees were watching Jesus carefully, and then he silenced them with the question, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Jesus then immediately heals the man. And then he asks a question that centers around, above all things, rescue and deliverance and salvation. Which of you, having an ox or a son that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. Jesus wants the rulers of the Pharisees, and he wants the lawyers to confess that as they have watched themselves and kept a close eye on the teaching, they have been wrong. So wrong. So wrong that they have fallen into a pit and that they cannot rescue themselves. So wrong that they need someone who is watching out for them to rescue them and to pull them out. Jesus is watching the Pharisees and the lawyers, and he is also watching out for you. Scripture gives Jesus the wonderful title as the shepherd and overseer of our souls. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 25. And the whole text is so beautiful. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus is watching out for you. He is overseeing you. And he loves you, and he protects you, and he rescues you. For in overseeing your soul, he saw you trapped by the devil and your own sinful flesh and deserving of God's wrath, and he became your substitute, bearing your sin in his body on the tree. In overseeing your soul, he saw you mortally wounded by sin and selfishness and pride and despair and straying like sheep, and he returned you back through his Spirit and his word. You are his sheep. He is your shepherd. He is the overseer of your soul. By his wounds you have been healed. And he promises you that he does not look on your sin, but he sees you as righteous and holy, that he doesn't mark iniquities, for with him there is forgiveness, that he may be feared. You have somebody watching out for you that is powerful and merciful and kind and loves you and joined you in your suffering and made you children of God. So, dear saints, confident that he is the overseer, and with faith that looks trustingly to Christ of Calvary, and keeping a close watch on ourselves and the teaching, he then works in you also a desire to look out for others. Pride and the devil and the sinful flesh are strong for you, and they are also strong for your neighbor. Be gentle, but don't ignore them. Pray for them. Correct them. Bring them to church in your souls. If not, bring them to church in their bodies. You have a common rescuer, and you have a common help in Jesus with them. So walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, bearing with one another in patience, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. In Jesus' name. Amen.